Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with his Russian counterpart today in Stockholm as NATO, the Western Military Alliance, and Russia trade threats over a buildup of Russian troops at the border with Ukraine. Blinken spoke to the press after the meeting.
It's now on Russia to de-escalate the current tensions by reversing the recent troop buildup, returning forces to normal peacetime positions, and refraining from further intimidation and attempts to destabilize Ukraine.
The U.S. counts almost 100,000 Russian troops at the border. Let's bring in Michelle Kellerman. She covers the State Department for NPR and joins us from Washington. Michelle, Blinken described his talk with Sergei Lavrov as sober and candid. Can you fill in any details?
Right. He used words like candid, serious, not polemical. One of his aides pointed out that there were no theatrics or histrionics in the meeting, but they also didn't come away announcing any real agreement on anything, nor did Blinken's staff expect that, really. They're just trying to calm tensions, keep lines of communication open, and pave the way for President Biden to speak with Vladimir Putin. And Blinken suggested that could happen in the coming days.
Oh, interesting. How important is that these talks go to the highest level and that Biden and Putin meet directly?
It's very important, you know, because Russia's a very centralized system, so talking to the foreign minister doesn't really cut it. But whether or not Biden and Putin can agree on anything in this very tense atmosphere is an open question, too. They held a summit in June, you might remember, to try to stabilize relations, but things haven't gotten any better. I mean, in fact, they've continued these tit-for-tat actions that are harming the basic work of the U.S. and Russian embassies in Moscow and Washington. And that's really low-hanging fruit in bilateral relations. Things like Ukraine, NATO expansion, that's really tough to solve, much tougher than staffing at the embassies.
Okay, and even before today's meeting with Lavrov, Blinken met with NATO yesterday, right? And the bloc basically said it can't do a whole lot if Ukraine is invaded by Russia because Ukraine isn't part of NATO. We obviously know Russia and the West have engaged in diplomatic and financial spats before, Michelle, but how serious is this one?
It seems to be pretty serious. I mean, Russia's military buildup on the border with Ukraine is much bigger than before. It's raising alarms. Blinken says the U.S. and its partners are ready to take much more serious financial steps if Russia reinvades Ukraine. From the U.S. perspective, you know, his position is really about deterrence. But Russia claims that it's responding to NATO moving assets closer to the region. So there's a lot of blame going around. It's not at all clear if Russia's going to take this diplomatic off-ramp that Blinken says he's offering. Blinken, as you heard him say, is putting the ball in Russia's court right now.
A lot of blame and a lot of history here, too, right? I mean, listeners may recall the 2014 revolution in Ukraine, after which Russian troops took advantage of the chaos, invaded Ukraine, annexed Crimea. Michelle, what's happened in Ukraine between then and now?
Well, Russia still controls Crimea, so no change there. In the Donbass region in eastern Ukraine, it's been kind of a low-boil conflict. There are still Russian puppet governments in that region giving out Russian passports, so they're really digging in. Ukraine's president came to office in 2018 promising to end the war. And while there were some early moves, like prisoner exchanges, for instance, there's really been no diplomatic progress on ending this conflict.
What's the significance of that Donbass region you just mentioned? Because Russia says Ukraine is building up its military there.
Right. But, you know, it's not like the Putin really wants to take over this region and pay for it and spend it, you know, the money that it's going to take to hold on to that. I think really Putin sees Ukraine as part of Russia's sphere of influence and wants to make sure it never becomes part of NATO. So occupying part of the territory, Crimea, but also having that troop presence or the puppet governments in eastern Ukraine is certainly one way to ensure that Ukraine can't become a NATO member. Another would be getting some sort of commitment from NATO or from the U.S., but the Secretary General has so far made clear this week that Russia has no say in any of that.
I see. And real quick, Michelle, the White House has largely focused on China as the preeminent threat. How big of a complication is this Russia-Ukraine situation?
Well, I think there are a lot of problems that are taking away from the focus on China right now, not only this, but also The coronavirus pandemic and all sorts of other problems that the U.S. is facing. But this is a problem in bordering NATO countries. And we also didn't even talk about Belarus, which is
sure.
another problem area where, the dictator there is playing with migrants and forcing a migration crisis. So
yeah,
this is
plate.
An area of a lot of turmoil right now.
We'll have to leave it there. That's Michelle Kellerman, NPR State Department correspondent. Thank you.
Thank you.